You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Oh Behave is brought to you by Petco.com. Petco is a leading specialty retailer of premium pet food supplies and services, offering more than 10,000 high-quality pet-related products. Enter the code BEHAVE10, BEHAVE, the number 10, and get 10% off any order. No minimum at Petco.com.
There's nothing like a shaggy dog, baby. The Shagadelic. And this is the place to find out how to achieve harmony in the household with your pets. Yeah, peace, harmony, pet power. Holy shih tzu, baby. You'll learn how to keep your pets from chewing your shoes or eating your cat. It's all about relationships, baby. You and your pet... pet. So tune in, turn on, and get ready for the positively grooviest pet podcast on the planet. Ooh, that's a lot of peas, baby, isn't it?
What's this show called?
Oh, Behave!
No, really. What's this show called?
Oh, Behave! With your Shagadelic host, Arden Moore. What's happening, Arden? Yeah, baby, yeah, yeah. Tell us.
Welcome to the Oh, Behave show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. How many of you love to be spooked a bit? To feel the thrill of the chill? You're in for a special treat today. I won't keep you in suspense any longer. That's because our special guest today is the master of suspense and one of the best-selling authors of all time, Dean Koontz. Welcome to Oh Behave, Dean.
Well, thanks for having me there.
I appreciate it. So, why is an author so gifted at causing the hair to raise on our arms with each turn of a page on a pet show? For that answer, we ask you to hang on for this commercial break, and we will explain. So sit, stay, and be ready to be spooked and delighted.
Would you like to go out? Well, actually, I was talking to your owner. I meant on a date, baby. Yeah, you and me. Oh, Behave! We'll be right back after these groovy Shagadelic messages. Oh, yeah.
Do you love your dog? Then you'll love feeding him mouth-watering, all-natural treats, lovingly handmade by a professional caterer who wanted the very best for her dogs. Make no mistake about it, these are not ordinary dog treats. These are doggy delights, like breakfast banana biscotti, honey bear peanut butter balls, yummy apple cinnamon mini cakes, and so much more. Your dog will howl in delight. And now you can get a scrumptious sample pack by going to dingersdogtreats.com. It's a $25 value, yours for just $9.95 through this special radio offer. That's D-I-N-G-E-R-S, dingersdogtreats.com. Every one of these gourmet doggy treats is handmade from the finest ingredients and taste tested on our own dogs. Your dog will love them. Get $25 worth of doggy delights now for just $9.95. Go to dingersdogtreats.com now. That's D-I-N-G-E-R-S, dingersdogtreats.com. Yum.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com. Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
We're switched back on, baby. Yeah, so let's talk pets with our smashing host, pet edutainer Arden Moore, and the groovy show that's cool, baby. Really Shagadelic. Oh, Behave!
We're back. You're listening to the Oh Behave show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. Recently, I opted to spend a Saturday afternoon standing in line for 3 hours to get a book signed by an author. And this is no ordinary author, and this is no ordinary book. He is Dean Koontz, described as America's most popular suspense novelist by Rolling Stone magazine, and I have to agree. If you're into stats, consider that 25 of his books have vaulted to the number one perch on the New York Times bestsellers list. In total, more than 375 million copies of books bearing his byline have been gobbled up by avid readers. That's a lot of books. But specifically, we invited Dean Koontz on our show because of two special books by him. The first is called Bliss to You, Trixie's Guide to a Happy Life. And the second one is a paperback release of his hardcover bestseller, The Darkest Evening of the Year. The first book spotlights the canine insights of a remarkable golden retriever named Trixie. The second book unleashes quite a fetching fiction tale of a protagonist named Amy Redwing and Nikki, her golden retriever. Whether it's fact or fiction, both of these books showcase the amazing power of dogs. So, Dean, wow, you can do it either way, the real deal or what comes out of your creative soul and mind, right?
Well, thank God it keeps working because I never want to have to get real work. You know, this job is just too much like a dream and I want it to continue. It comes as a gift to you. You can't take too much credit for it because the writing is an unearned grace. It's given to you. But what you can take credit for is how you try to apply it and the time you spent working on the craft. So I'm just lucky that it was a grace I was born with and I'm trying to do the best I can with it.
Well, I think you're doing all right. And I love the way you describe dogs on your website, which is easy to find, folks. It's deankoontz.com. And it's you describe dogs as beauty without vanity.
They are exceptional creatures. When I lost Trixie a year ago, it was just like losing a child, I think. I've never lost a child, but I would imagine it is in the same reign of painfulness to lose a beloved dog you've had a long time. And when I talked about it on radio before, I had a number of callers call in and say that they had had the same experience. They said, I think it's very strange of me that I was in more grief losing a dog than I was losing a parent or a sibling. And I said, no, because no matter how much we love the people in our lives, all human relationships have flaws to them because we're flawed, we're fallen. But animals are innocent, dogs are innocent, and so the relationship is almost always perfect. And no wonder over a period of 10 or 12 years you develop such a close attachment to them and they become so important to your life because it's almost the perfect relationship.
Yeah, I think you've hit that one on the nose, if you will. Trixie was destined to be a service dog through the Canine Companions for Independence, a group that you're very close with. And just at the end, didn't quite make it, but landed in a great home, that of you and your wife, Gerda. So give the folks catch up with Trixie's bio, if you would.
Well, Trixie actually did make it. She completed the 2 years of training, and she went into service. And she was in service with a young woman who lost both legs in a traffic accident and was about 20, 21. And Trixie became her service assistance dog for about 6 months. And then Trixie developed an elbow problem. And when they examined her, they discovered she had a congenital elbow problem. She eventually needed surgery on both elbows. And while the surgery was perfect and she was a runner and an athlete thereafter, they had to take her out of service because a service dog must, in a real pinch, be able to pull the chair and nobody worry about any joint problems. So a joint problem led her to early retirement. So she came to us when she was 3 and was our first dog of my adult life. And I had wanted one for a long time, but it always said, we're just too busy to give a dog the time. And finally I said to Gerda, my wife, one day, you know, if we don't take this dog that CCI is offering us and say we're too busy, we'll be saying we're too busy when we're 90. So it's now or never. And it was one of the greatest decisions of our life.
Describe that first day when you and Trixie were there face-to-face, nose-to-nose.
Well, she was known in her class at CCI as something of a clown. She would, when they were training them for a stay position, for instance, they put them in the big training room and all the dogs are sitting around and there's usually some food left on the floor just to see if they'll be tempted to break stay and go for the food. And then the trainers all leave the room and go behind a two-way mirror and watch them. And they told us that all the time through learning the stays and extending the stay, Trixie behaved exactly the same way. They'd leave the room and there'd be 12 or 14 dogs in the room sitting on a stay. And Trixie would wait till they were alone for 10, 15, 20 seconds, and then she'd look around and she'd break her stay. And she would go to each of the other dogs trying to get it to break its stay, trying to get it to play. And when the trainers rattled the doorknob as if they were coming back into the room, Trixie would run back to her original position, sit up straight, and pretend she'd been on her stay the whole time. So we knew the day she came, we recognized that same little playfulness in her, and that was a major part of her personality for as long as we had her.
I think you need that, don't you, with the sort of the dark suspense that you dive into with each page of your books? I mean, how has having a goofball on four legs benefited you?
Well, I'm a goofball on two legs a lot of the time, so we hit it off perfectly for that reason. It's, you know, she changed totally the way I write, because before I had her, I had always been in trouble with the publishers because I mixed genres. I combine with suspense, love stories, and different other elements, and sometimes a little science fiction, sometimes a little something else. And my publishers kept saying, you can't do this because you just confuse the public. And I said, you know, I think the public would really like somebody who doesn't write the same book every time. And they would all say, nope, the public wants somebody that they can trust that will always be the same thing. Well, I think over time I proved that wasn't right, but I used to struggle with publishers all the time. And one of the biggest struggles was when I began to put humor into the books, and that was not accepted well. In fact, when I switched from Putnam to Knopf, and the first book had a lot of humor in it, it was so not accepted that I never did it again on the next two books at Knopf, and I left them for Bantam. But after Trixie, and I actually pulled back a little at that point. I thought, well, you know, I'm not going to fight this. But then Trixie came to us around the time I went to Bantam, and I started not worrying about putting the humor in. And once in a while, I'd have a book that has very little in, but a lot of my books have an awful lot of humor in them, as well as the suspense. And she was the one that allowed that to happen for me, because she was here at my side all the time, and we were having fun all the time. And it loosened me up toward my writing, so that I was no longer concerned about putting the humor into a suspense novel.
I think it also makes us, keeps us grounded, don't you think? Dogs do goofy things, and you said you're a goofball on two legs, but you have a lot of accolades attributed to your name, and, you know, you don't strike me as a guy that sits there and has an ego trip, but how do you think that Trixie's helped your outlook on life? I mean, you know, you get to be a writer, you're a damn good one, but this dog has some magical way of bringing out the best in you.
You know, it was when you watch the dog and that absolute love that the dog gives, and I hesitate to say unconditional love, because love should always be unconditional, but dogs give you such an amazing constancy of love that it's unlike any other experience you have. And as you watch how dogs behave, as I took Trixie on a walk, for instance, we would walk around a neighborhood I had lived in for, you know, years, and I knew everything about it, and so I'd stop to notice many of the things about it that were kind of wonderful or beautiful. And when you take a dog for a walk, the dog often gets interested in the smell of a flower. Trixie particularly loved to smell flowers, and she would stop and be intrigued by a bed of flowers, or she'd be stopped and intrigued by the play of light and shadow on a wall, or that's what it seemed she was intrigued with, and it would make you stop and look at things that you hadn't looked at in a long, long time. And walking a dog and not just rushing it to get the pooping done, but to enjoy the whole experience, brings you into a more intimate relationship with the natural world around you. And that begins to change the way you write. You begin to think about the natural world more. It became more a part of my novels. And also the values of the dog, which are almost perfect, I forget who it is, I mention it in Bliss now, but I quote somebody as saying, a dog is the only person in this world that loves you more than itself. And I'm not sure that's entirely true, but it is true of every dog. They do love you more than they love themselves. And it's an incredible relationship, and it begins to make you less selfish, I think, and it begins to open you up, and you want to do more for that dog, and you find yourself wanting to do more for everybody around you, and the dog therefore becomes a teacher in a way.
Yeah, I think today in USA Today, they had a full-blown feature on the healing power of dogs for folks that have recovered from cancer, people like folks that are connected to Canine Companions for Independence that may have a physical disability or whatever. But it's so nice to see these high, prestigious, well-credentialed individuals at places like the Mayo Clinic and Johns Hopkins and all, who are finally getting it too, that this is not just anecdotal, this is the real deal, right, Dean?
Yep. It's when you go to when you work with an organization like Canine Companions for Independence, as we have for so many years, and you see now what they can do with certain autistic children by pairing them with a social dog, a dog that is trained to socialize them. And you see these kids who might have had behavioral problems or, in addition, might have been withdrawn, and you see them beginning to be better behaved. You see them beginning to associate more with people around them, to relate more to their family, and it all comes about because of this mysterious relationship with this dog. And it's a breathtaking thing to watch. I've seen extremely disabled kids supposedly withdrawn from the world because of the mental aspect of their disability flower and come out of that shell and become people who relate to the world and are no longer withdrawn from it. And that is something that nobody can explain, because in some of these instances, these kids have conditions that are supposedly incurable, and that when they have this condition, it's not only the physical effect, but the mental effect is supposedly incurable. And yet, in many instances, it's not entirely incurable. These kids who are blocked away by their disease overcome that part of it and become more social and happier, and it's all because of this relationship.
Oh, I think you're right. And well, how did you hear about CCI? Was it through Trixie, or I think you've been connected with them for some time?
Yeah, we were connected with them long before Trixie came to us. I wrote a book called Midnight, and I had read something about CCI, and in the book I decided there would be a character in a wheelchair and that he would have a CCI dog. And I wrote the book, and it was actually my first number one bestseller, and Canine Companions wrote me and said, gee, when the paperback comes out, would you mind putting our address in the back and tell what we do? And I thought, wow, I should have thought of doing that in the first place. And so from that, we went to a CCI event. We were so enamored with them that we became ever more involved with them over the years. And ultimately, they kept saying, would you take a release dog, a dog that either doesn't quite make it through the program or one that does, but then, like Trixie, has a problem? And we had been saying no until the day we said yes to Trixie, which was the life-changing moment.
Well, in the book that, well, I guess it was Trixie and you collaborated on, and Trixie's on the other side, one of my favorite mentions of Trixie's in the 8 steps, if you will, on how to have a happy life is you and Trixie got together, and Trixie said that dogs live most of life in quiet heart. Humans live mostly next door in desperate heart. Now and then we'll do you good to live in our zip code. Wow, that's pretty powerful.
Well, it's true. You know, dogs take the world as it is. They don't want to change it. They don't have the capacity to change it. They deal with everything that comes along, whether it's good or bad, with the same good spirit. And that takes a quiet heart, a heart that doesn't want to change the world and that understands the limitations of life. And it doesn't mean that you give up on the world or anything else, but it means you become just more quiet about how you face the vicissitudes of life, how you decide to handle them, and how you decide to pursue what you want, whether you're going to do it with a certain desperation or going to do it with a quiet sort of resolve. And doing it more with a quiet resolve and with far less anxiety than we tend to bring to everything we do turns out to give you a much happier life. I think that's one reason people who have dogs most of their life live longer than people who don't. And some of the studies say, well, that might be because of other factors. Yeah, but I think the dog had an awful lot to do with it.
I think you're right. And a little dash of humor, I mean, Trixie's saying when throwing party, remember cats can't hold their liquor.
Well, you know, some things she wants to be sure we know, because it's disastrous. If you allow the cats to have liquor, you wish you wouldn't have done that. So.
Well, we're speaking with Dean Kuntz. We're going to take a break, and we're going to get back and find out a little bit more about the Trixie book as well as his other book that is now going to paperback right after we pay for this show.
Would you like to go out?
Well, actually, I was talking to your owner. I meant on a date, baby. Yeah, you and me.
Oh, behave. We'll be right back after these groovy, shagadelic messages. Oh, yeah.
Oh, Behave is brought to you by 1-800-PETMEDS, America's largest pet pharmacy. 1-800-PET-MEDS is your best source for pet medications, vitamins, supplements, and pet supplies. Get great savings, fast service, and free shipping. Go to PetMeds.com/behave, B-E-H-A-V-E, to get 10% off any order and free shipping on orders of $39 or more.
New York, the glitz, the glamour, the exciting Mutt-tropolis, the sparkling kitty city that never sleeps. Join us each week for Pets in the City with your host, Diane West. Celebrity pet sightings, hot events, and news and reviews with the hottest movers, shakers, and tail waggers in New York. So take a bite out of the Big Apple with Pets in the City every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
We're switched back on, baby. Yeah, so let's talk pets with our smashing host, pet edutainer Arden Moore, and the groovy show that's cool, baby. Really shagadelic. Oh, behave!
Welcome back. You're listening to the Oh Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. Our special guest today is Dean Koontz, who's written a zillion bestsellers on the New York Times list, and he has a great connection with dogs and the Canine Companions for Independence. It's a great organization that helps bring independence for folks that have some physical or mental challenges, obstacles. I mean, these dogs are amazingly trained. And Dean, you can talk a little bit about this. I mean, you've been there and you've done the book signings and all that, but the training is very, very intensive, and only the very, very best get to get placed in homes, correct?
Yeah, the CCI has its listed selected breeders, and they're always looking to increase the intelligence and the strength of the dogs, and they get these wonderful animals. They go to puppy raisers for the better part of 18 months. I think they go when they're 11 weeks old, and then when they're 18 months, they leave the puppy trainer, who has taught them to such things as toileting on command, which is an amazing thing, and get a command with the dog, because the disabled person, somebody in a wheelchair who's paraplegic or quadriplegic, cannot always take the dog out anytime the dog wants to go. So the dog is fed and everything on a schedule that allows it also to be trained to be to toilet on command. So it's an astonishing thing to see. You take the dog out, you walk it a few steps, you give it the command, and the dog does what it's supposed to do. It's very effective for somebody disabled. But these then after 18 months of the training for basically to just be a very good dog, not to bark and so forth, then they go to a specialty trainer for 6 months, and that specialty trainer trains them in a tremendous variety of specialty to commands. One of the things they do for people in wheelchair is pick up dropped objects, because many people in wheelchairs can't reach to the ground, and especially if they have limited mobility in the upper arm, in the arms, as well as paralyzed legs. And these dogs, I've seen it done, can pick up something from the ground as thin as a dime. And
wow,
it's pretty amazing to watch them do that and return it to the owner. But they also can remember serial commands. For instance, you can say to one of these dogs, let's say you had one, you went to bed, moved from the wheelchair to bed, got settled in and realized, oops, you didn't bring that bottle of water or that can of soda that you always like to have on the nightstand. Well, you can say to this dog, these are not the commands, but these are what the dogs know they mean. You can say to the dog five commands, and the dog will remember them and perform them. And the first command will be go to the kitchen. Second command, open the refrigerator door, which can be done by leaving a rag tied to the handle or dish towel tied to the handle. But go to the kitchen, open the door, remove a drink, and if you stack the bottom two shelves of the refrigerator with four different drinks, you tell the dog which are the four you want, and it'll know which that is. Then close the refrigerator and return to me with the can. And the dog will do all those things and bring it back to bed. So you can see when these commands can be put together in various ways and dogs can do all these things, what a difference they can make in a life. And some people who could not live on their own comfortably but had to live with relatives find that with one of these dogs they actually can live on their own and quite handily.
Now, to get copies of the book, Bliss to You, Trixie's Guide to a Happy Life, I know it's available everywhere. You signed, what, over 1,000 books? You sold out. at the recent signing.
Yeah, it was, I think the final number was 1,150. So,
Oh my gosh.
And we were out of books, and there were people still on them. So it was a wonderful day because it was all at CCI, and we had a lot of fun there, too. So,
well, you donated all the royalties for that, and I was amazed. I heard afterwards you sat there. You must have had the strongest bladder because you never took a break. And were you starting to write with both hands at the end?
I'd like to say that I was trained by CCI and only go on command, but that wouldn't be true. I don't like to get up in a book signing and leave people standing in line while I attend to having a snack or anything. So if I don't need to, I don't need to. But yeah, all of Trixie's income from her various books and things, and this is her third book, After Life is Good and Christmas is Good, and she has signed with Hyperion to do another one. And she's also signed something very amazing has been happening with the Trixie image. She's gained such a popularity that we have signed with Putnam Penguin Children's Books to do a series of Trixie books, told by Trixie, illustrated by Janet Cleland, who did the wonderful illustrations in Christmas is Good. And the first one is called I, Trixie, Who is Dog, and the second one is called Trixie and Jinx. And they're sort of aimed at the 4 to 8 year old reader, and they're in the vein of a Dr. Seuss or an Olivia, but a lot of fun because Trixie's always a lot of fun. And then in 2010, or actually starting next summer, there'll be for sale a Trixie 2010 calendar that Hyperion's publishing, and we're in discussions with somebody to do a video game called Trixie's Big Backyard, and things just keep happening for Trixie, and people are coming to us about it. So it strikes me as a lot of fun if we can build a little industry here that feeds canine companion income for many years to come, all by this little dog who left such a long shadow.
I know there's a dog named Marley out there, and a good friend of mine, John Grogan, we worked together for many years and we're friends. It was quite a touchstone dog as well for not great behavior. You seem like Trixie is the opposite, if you will, of the goofy Marley, but you're both getting out good messages to all generations.
Thank you. It's Trixie's sort of different from Marley. Trixie would go months and we'd never hear her bark. And she was such a wonderful dog that when she had a serious illness once, which couldn't get diagnosed, it turned out to be a food allergy. But for about 4 to 6 weeks, she threw up all the time. And this little dog would not throw up in a carpeted area. She would wake you in the middle of the night and insist on being taken out until she got to a limestone floor. And then she would do it. And she was so astonishingly wonderful that it's funny in its own right. And in fact, Hyperion, who published this to you, surprised me by coming to us a couple of months ago and making an offer to me to write two nonfiction books, the first to be a memoir of Trixie. And we've reached a deal, and I just saw their jacket. The book will be out next summer, and it's called A Big Little Life.
And oh, great name.
It's really a story about how this little dog had such a profound impact on us. And it's really about the mystery of the human-dog bond, the mystery of our life and this world and what may lay beyond it. And it's a spiritual book, an emotional book, a funny book, I think, because it touches upon the humor but also the deep emotion that springs from a good relationship with a dog. And I'm writing it right now, and it's been a lot of fun to work on.
For a person who's had the first dog in their adult life, you've gotten a lot of mileage out of this dog. And I just think there was something in the cosmic forces out there that brought the two of you together.
Well, you know, it's some friends who are monks, quite a few friends who are monks at a particular abbey here in Orange County. And as we were first getting to know them, it was in the last year of Trixie's life, and we didn't know that, of course. And about 2 months before Trixie passed, and she seemed completely healthy and vigorous, we had the first couple of times that some of these monks came to dinner. And one night, two of them are here, and they're Norbertines, who are a particularly intellectual group, and it's always amazing what areas they're educated in. You know, it's no surprise to find a Norbertine monk who is a physicist. So we were spending the first part of the evening having a little wine and everything, and of course Trixie was hanging out with us and whatnot, and we were heading toward dinner, and suddenly one of the monks looked at the other one and said, "What do you think of this dog?" And the other monk said, "What do you think of this dog?" And the first one looked at me and said, "Have you ever had any reason to think there's something more about this dog? There's something very unusual about this dog?" And I said, "Yes, I've had many reasons to think this dog is..." I said, "I have no doubt that dogs have souls, and this dog has a very wise soul." So then they said, "Well, you ought to go read in the Apocrypha, if you've never have, the Book of Tobit, which is... probably has to be one of the earliest dog stories, and a dog is mentioned in it only a couple of times, but it turns out that at the end, when you discover this one human figure, it was really the angel Raphael in disguise, who does great things for this devout Jew named Tobit and his son Tobias. And then when Tobit says to him, "Why did you do all these wonderful things for me?" And he says, "Because of the way you've lived your life and the good things you've done for other people," and mentions the things that Tobit had done for people. And Tobit is mystified, "But you were never here. You didn't see it." And the angel Raphael said, "I was always at your side. You just didn't recognize who I was." And the only character who's always at his side is the dog.
There you go.
So it's a wonderful story. You can read it and miss that whole point, but it's a very subtle story. And so I said, "You know, I know there's a special spirit in this dog because she changed my life."
That's true. That's true. And I did want to ask you a little bit about the release now of your fiction book, The Darkest Evening of the Year, another story of a golden retriever and more of a got to risk the life for this golden retriever with the main character, Amy Redwing. You want to talk a little bit about how people can get their hands or paws wrapped around this book coming out?
Well, it's out there, just been out a week, and I just heard yesterday the first week was the biggest first week paperback sales I've ever had in every single market, whether it was Barnes & Noble or any retail outlet, which, given the current economy, we're rather startled by. But I think it's because people know from what they heard about the hardcover what the book is about. And it centers around a woman who's into dog rescue. She runs a golden retriever rescue group, and it's really a book about the human-dog bond and about the grace that they bring into our lives and the mystery of our lives. And she saves one particular golden retriever named Nikki right in the earlier thing from a very potentially violent situation with a mean drunk involved who's going to kill the dog, and she saves the dog truly even more than a rescuer groups usually do. And then begins to feel there's something very special about this dog, that there's something very unusual about it. And as the story evolves, I won't give anything away, but yeah, she's right. There is something very unusual about the dog.
Well, you had us at woof. I mean, come on. You know,
I like that. I'm going to use that.
Go for it. Go for it. Go for it. I'm just full of them. I don't know. They just peter out of my head. I just wonder, you must have some amazing dreams at night, and to dash between fiction and nonfiction in your writing, you know, what's going on in that head of yours when you put that head on the pillow and you're saying goodnight?
You know, I hardly ever dream. Until I was in my early 30s, I had nightmares now and then, and occasionally a dream. But when I got to about my mid-30s, dreams started fading away from me, and now I rarely, rarely ever dream. And I think it's partly because of what I do for a living. I'm tapping the subconscious all day long, and when you're writing and you treat writing not as just a craft, but as a gift that you're being given, and you have to open your subconscious to it and have to tear down all barriers to what's coming to your mind, and you just go with the inspiration you're given, it means you really get into some deep territory. And I think you end up sort of being cleansed of all those things that give you nightmares by the time you go to bed.
That's great. I think that's good. I don't know about you, but when I meet people and in venues, I always have that little bubble in my head that's popping out. Sometimes I say it out loud, sometimes I don't. I can just imagine you might have the same thing. There's always a story somewhere.
Yep. People say, "Where do you get all these ideas?" And I say, you know, it isn't that hard. And I think it's partly when you use your imagination a lot, it's like a muscle. And the more you use it, the better it gets. So I'm using it all the time, and ideas are always coming to me. Sometimes it'll be a line from a song. I got the whole idea for life expectancy when I was coming home from a meeting with film executives, which, believe me, is almost never a positive experience. And
okay.
I was in desperate heart, and I was...
needed a new zip code.
Yeah, and I was driving along, and I was in my wife's car, and she had a bunch of old Simon and Garfunkel albums on the deck, and there was a song, Patterns, and there was one line in the song, my life is made of patterns that can scarcely be controlled. And something about the line just sparked an idea in my head, and within about 15 miles, I had the idea for Life Expectancy, which I couldn't wait to write. So ideas come from everywhere, and you just have to be open for them.
I agree with you. Dean, I'm so glad that you could be a guest on our show. You're listening to The O Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. We want you all to dash right out now to the deankuntz.com website. We want you to buy not just one, but oodles of the book, Bliss to You, Trixie's Guide to a Happy Life, and also the new paperback version, The Darkest Evening of the Year. Any book with a Dean Kuntz stamp on it is good by me, and you will be enriched. You'll be spooked a little bit. You'll be delighted. That's the purpose of good writing and good storytelling. And I also ask you to take a look at the Canine Companions for Independence website. It's a great organization helping a lot of people, and they're always looking for good volunteers, and they bring out the best in people and dogs. Is there anything else you'd like to add at this point, Dean?
I think you've done it all. I just thank you for giving me the time.
Well, we hope, I guess we're going to post this on your website too, this radio show at Mark Winter, my absolutely amazing, talented, great producer, will give your folks all the nuts and bolts on how to do that. So not only can you listen to it on PetLifeRadio.com, but you can also tune in to the DeanKuntz.com site, and you can listen to Dean give us some insights into the powerful world of pets and in writing. And for somebody like you who has simple taste, I guess you even like burnt toast, you know, this has been, you've been enriched by the lives of a few amazing dogs.
I'm sitting here right now with our second one, Anna, and she's another golden retriever, and she is a joy and a grace herself. And it took us 10 months after losing Trixie to get up the heart to have another one, but she is her own. Each one is a unique personality, and she's totally different than Trixie, but glorious in her own way.
And it's glorious that you also recognize that instead of having her have to fit the bill of, you know, always being compared to Trixie. That's a trick in itself.
Well, you know, I think if people, even people who have animals and love them, I have known people who the animal is a pet. And if you make that step of saying the animal is part of the family and the animal is a mysterious being, and dogs are particularly mysterious beings, that there's much more going on in that head than you think. And if you open yourself to seeing that, the relationship becomes so deep and different than just being a pet. And so looking at Anna as this unique little girl, it has allowed us to see all kind of things about her that we now treasure that I don't think we'd have seen if we didn't look at her that way.
Well, that sounds great. We're listening to The O Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I want to thank our special guest, Dean Kuntz, for being on the show. And until next time, I have just two words for all you 2-, 3-, and 4-leggers out there. Oh, behave.
There's nothing like a shaggy dog, baby. They're shagadelic. And this is the place to find out how to have harmony in the household with your pets. Oh, yeah. So stop by our pad every week and get switched on, baby. Switched on to the show that's all about attitude. Oh, behave. With your groovy host, pet edutainer Arden Moore. Yeah, baby, yeah. Every week on demand on PetLifeRadio.com.